Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. What's left of him? What a long day yesterday. I tell you what, we went up to Frederick yesterday morning, set up for the NRA show up there, and stocked up the booth with Maryland Hunting Quarterly magazines, and went and had a little lunch, came back, and the show opened at 3 o'clock, met some of you folks up there, some of our listeners, and we just sat there till about 6:30, and then I had a date last night. We went to see Riders in the Sky. That's a cowboy group that celebrates the old singing cowboy songs like Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and others, and had an extremely enjoyable time in Gettysburg last night. These guys have been around and been together for 35 years. It's a kind of a music comedy show. It's great. If you've ever heard of them, they're called Riders in the Sky. You can go to their website, ridersinthesky.com, and check it out, that's for sure. Fiddle music and fiddles and accordions and bass and guitars, and just a great 2 hours of entertainment. Drove home from that. I got home about, I don't know, one-ish. Had dinner after the concert late in Gettysburg. Drove home, got home about one-ish, and then got up here. What time did my alarm clock go off? Brian, what time did you call me? 4:15? Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. And so it was pretty good. It was pretty good. We had a good time, and here we are. Had a great meeting this week, too, also on Thursday. The Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Foundation hosted an afternoon get-together at Harry Brown's in Annapolis. That's a little restaurant and tavern, and had some good oysters and that type of thing. Most everybody from anywhere in the outdoorsman community was there. A number of the organizations were represented, Rocky Mountain Elk and Ducks Unlimited, and a number of them were there, and some of them weren't. Some of them weren't. Some prominent ones were not there. But the secretary was there. The fisheries chief was there. The wildlife chief was there. The natural resources police chief was there. And a number of legislators. We had a great meeting with Wendell Beitzel from out in Western Maryland and Mike Weir here from Baltimore. Both avid sportsmen. We had a roundtable. A couple of us had a roundtable conversation with those guys about how to address poaching and penalties, and some good stuff. Also this week, the new wildlife concepts came out. The concepts are concepts, simply that. There are several of them concerning regulation. Now, we've had this kind of a conversation before. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls this morning, too. We'd love to hear from you. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. The Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife, and Heritage Service sent out the list of concepts for the 2012 through the 2014 hunting seasons to the various hunting organizations. And the hunting organizations are known as stakeholders, some of the previously mentioned folks. But, I mean, there's rabbit hunters, there's crossbow hunters, there's bow hunters, there's muzzleloader guys, there's sportsmen's clubs and coalitions and that type of thing. And in general, the way this works is seasons and bag limits, safety rules, qualifying firearms and archery tackle, all the regulations that you see in your handbook that are not laws, these are regulations, are established by the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife, and Heritage Service based on the science that is applied through the management plans through hunter input and observations in the field. Now, in Maryland, the regulation process works pretty well. To arrive at a point where an idea actually becomes a regulation involves representatives from the conservation organization, sportsman's club, as I previously mentioned, nonprofit groups within the hunting community called stakeholders again. And, of course, the public, you all, have an opportunity to comment. Wildlife managers or stakeholders can ask for certain concepts to be considered, or once put on the table, they can ask for it to be changed. So in other words, there's an internal debate within the department The concepts are formulated. They're put on the table in front of the stakeholders. The stakeholders comment on them, and then the wildlife managers take a look at that, those comments, and fine-tune them, tweak them. After considering all the input from the stakeholders, the internal debate by the wildlife managers turned the concept into a proposal. And then the proposal is put up for public comment. After that, the Wildlife Advisory Commission discusses the proposals and votes to approve the individual proposals, allowing them to become regulations or not. Now, that stakeholders meeting is coming up in about 2 weeks. The concepts were going to be discussed, and here are some of them. And none of them have become regulations. These are just being discussed. But I want to share them with you. White-tailed deer. Are you listening, deer hunters? Create a statewide, Region A, Region B, bag limit for antlered deer, bucks, and reduce the overall buck bag limit to 3 per year. 1 per weapon season, bow season, muzzleloader season, firearm season, 1 each season. The buck bag limit would be 3 per year for deer management regions A and B combined. In other words, no separate bag limits anymore. You kill a buck in Region A with a bow, you're done statewide. You kill a buck in Region B with a muzzleloader, you're done statewide. You kill a buck in Region A with a firearm, you're done statewide. The rationale behind this, it would simplify the regulations and is anticipated to result in a modest reduction in the buck harvest. Limiting hunters to 1 buck per weapon season would remove the requirement for hunters to take 2 antlerless deer before taking a second buck, and that's in Region B, and remove the need to purchase a bonus antlered deer stamp. The comments from within the department go like this. This change is based on hunter input, stating that our current statewide bag limit for bucks is too high at 9 per year, and that's the combined total for Region A and B. While this concept would not change the buck bag limit for Region A, it would remove the option for hunters to take a buck in Region B and then one in Region A during the same weapon season or vice versa. So, white-tailed deer bag limit reduced to 3 bucks per year, 1 each season. Your thoughts? Concept 2. Expand the current unlimited antlerless bag limit for bow season in the suburban zone to all of deer management region B. Anything west of western Washington County, unlimited does. Simplifies the regulations by dropping the current suburban zone bow season bag limit and making it apply to all of region B. In comments, the suburban zone formerly had special opportunities for crossbow hunting and a separate bag limit for antlerless deer during bow season. The crossbow opportunities were expanded to statewide in 2010. This would expand the unlimited bag limit to Region B, making the suburban zone obsolete. Your comments. Sick of deer. Pay attention, sick of deer hunters. This concept, which could become a proposal, which could become a regulation, would institute a branched antler requirement for stags during all sick of deer seasons. Antlered sick of deer would need at least 1 branched antler to be legal for harvest. In other words, no spikes. The rationale and the goal, yearling sick of stags, 1.5-year-old males are almost exclusively spikes. The majority of the sickest harvested each year are yearling stags. A branched antler for sick of deer requirement would protect this age sex class from harvest and shift the harvest to the females, helping us meet our management goals for this population, which is to maintain them at the current density in the current geographic range. It would also improve the age structure of the stags. Let's face it. The sitka has become a trophy animal here in Maryland. The desired goal is to have a big old spiky four-point with a big brow guard or having a six-point stag. That's the ultimate. Your comments, sitka deer hunters. River otter. Reopened a trapping season for river otters in Garrett and Allegheny counties with a bag limit of one otter per season. All other counties in Maryland currently have an open season for river otters. The rationale or the goal is to provide a limited opportunity for trappers to take a river otter in these counties. This will allow trappers that are targeting beavers more latitude to trap in areas where catching an otter in a beaver set is a possibility. Federal law requires all otter pelts be tagged by DNR staff, so we will gain valuable data on capture locations. We also would require trappers to surrender the carcass of any otters trapped in these counties to provide population data not otherwise available to DNR. Otters are present in most of the suitable habitat in Garrett and Allegheny counties due to the successful reintroduction project conducted in the early to mid-1990s. Since that time, otter sightings have become increasingly common in Allegheny and Garrett counties. Within the past few years, multiple otters have been reported in most sub-watersheds throughout that two-county region. Rabbit hunters keep the daily bag limit for rabbits at four, but limit it to no more than two rabbits per day may be taken on lands owned or controlled by DNR. Those are public lands. The rationale or the goal is to maximize the recreational opportunities for rabbit hunters on public lands by spreading the harvest out over a longer period of time. This concept was requested by rabbit hunters who report that their rabbit hunting opportunities on public land decrease rapidly soon after the season opens. They feel this is due in part to high harvest by hunters early in the season. Here's a concept for crossbows. To allow cocked but unloaded crossbow to be placed in, on, or against any vehicle. The change would still prohibit a loaded crossbow from being in, on, or against any vehicle. A loaded crossbow is one with a bolt or arrow in place on the shooting rail. The rationale is to drop the requirement that a crossbow be shot or otherwise uncocked before being transported in a vehicle. A regulation currently requires, this is a comment now, a regulation currently requires hunters to uncock all crossbows before placing them in a vehicle. This typically requires a crossbow to be shot, which means uncocked, at the end of the hunting period. This activity is arguably more dangerous than having an unloaded, cocked crossbow in a vehicle, since it often means a crossbow is shot when others hunters may be in or approaching the area in the dark, and etc. I think we'll take a little pause right there to get your phone calls on some of these, and then we'll continue with a couple more concepts. The remaining concepts revolve around CWD, Hunter Orange, and your big game harvest record. All right, so coming up this next Friday night, man, the annual Fireman's and Men's Night Out auction and sale, Allen and Marshall Auctions in Parsonburg, Maryland, Friday night, February 3rd, Saturday, February 4th. Be sure to attend one of the largest firearm auctions in the Mid-Atlantic region. 400 or more, way over 400 quality firearms, plus four-wheelers, boats, jet skis, military items, and ammunition to be auctioned off during this two-day event. All items will be sold regardless of price. There's no minimum, no reserve. If you've never bought at auction before, now is the time because you won't want to miss this incredible auction event. Here's the number, 410-835-0384. Or you can visit Allen & Marshall Auctions. If you want to Google Allen & Marshall, you can do so, or visit amauctions.com. That number again, 410-835-0384, or visit amauctions.com. Allen & Marshall Auctions is located at 8000 Esham, or Esham, E-S-H-A-M, Road in Parsonburg, Maryland. You can plug that into your GPS. That's why we give you the address. And that's outside of Salisbury. We'll see you at the auction. Alan Ellis here for Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. You know, my friend John Berkridge, the sales manager, he wants outdoorsmen to know that the F-150 and Super Duty pickups are ready for action. Remember, Ford trucks are dependable, wherever you spend your time outdoors, at work, and at play. Stop by and see the lineup of Explorers, Escapes, Rangers, Super Duty, and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years. Ask how to take advantage of the special offers and incentives on Ford trucks at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. See Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln at 1845 East Joppa Road in Parkville for all the details, or call 410-661-6400. Visit them online at bobdavidsonauto.com. For outdoorsmen, Bob Davidson is your outfitter for quality Ford trucks.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
If you love the great outdoors, you'll love the National Rifle Association's Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show. It's three big days of hunting and fishing excitement, January 27th through the 29th at the Eventplex at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick, Maryland. See nearly 200 hunting and fishing exhibitors, the NRA Great American Whitetail Collection, nationally known seminar speakers, the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest, and more. The first 200 attendees each day receive a free Drury Outdoors DVD. General admission, $10. NRA members, $8. Children under 9, admitted free. Weekend passes available. Renew your NRA membership at the show for $35 and receive a free weekend pass to the show. It's the 2012 NRA Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show, 3 to 9 p.m. Friday, January 27th, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, January 28th, and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, January 29th at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick, Maryland. Visit www.nrahuntingshow.org. For more info, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review, Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All the things I'm missing, good fiddles, love, and kissing, are waiting at the end of my ride. Move 'em on, hit 'em up, hit 'em up, move 'em on, hit 'em up, ride. Yeah, ride 'em in, cut 'em out, ride 'em in, cut 'em out, Rawhide.
Hey, there you go, a little Riders in the Sky, Rawhide. They did perform that song last night. Very good. Very. These guys are good, I'll tell you what. Let's talk to Kirk. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning.
Hey, buddy.
I should be headed out the door right now. The way this weather is, it's just perfect, and I can't take advantage of it.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to ask your opinion. I've always had a thing about trophy fish.
Yeah.
I'd rather catch one special fish in a lifetime than catch a boatload of average fish.
Yeah.
And there's still places in the world you can go where you have a shot at taking a world record, and I heard you last week about that great tautog that was taken. The fact that it was so close to here is just—it really makes you feel good that there's still fish like that around. But I wanted to ask the one thing that we would have access to here, the bodies of water that have never been fished, are those sections of the reservoirs that are off limits.
That's correct.
What do you think are the limits of the fish that are there as far as the size they can attain, especially for the pikes?
Well, you put a goldfish in a bowl and it grows to a certain size, and you increase the size of the tank and it gets bigger. So to answer your question, I would th- think, I would suspect, that there's probably a 30-pound northern pike in Loch Raven somewhere.
That's I was thinking that the exact weight that there's a that it's 30 that is a 30 in there as far as the size.
No doubt.
Why can't they get to the kind of size that they take in Canada and that kind of thing?
I think the reason for that, Kirk, is that we are at the very southern end of the northern pike's actual range. I mean, these pike were stocked in there many years ago, as they were in some of these other lakes, across Pennsylvania. But I think when we get into Maryland, you get south of here, there's not many northern pike.
And so the same thing would apply to the bass. It's the northern.
We're at the northern end of the largemouth bass range. Yeah, exactly right. I mean, if you get, I don't know what the state record is for Pennsylvania. I don't think it's more than Maryland. I think we've got, you know, we're right on now global warming kicks in. Of course, we'll get bigger bass here like they have in Florida, but we may have to wait a couple of decades for that. So you and I won't be around when that happens. But
for the chain pickerel and for the basses and the trout, what do you think? What do you think is in those reservoirs?
Oh man, for the trout, there's probably a 20-25 pound brown trout in there. I would have I have no evidence of that, but I can tell you in some of those deeper waters in like Loch Raven and those areas, in particular Loch Raven, because it is so, you know, untapped and there are so many areas off limits of it, I would say that a brown trout in there would be a 20-pound brown trout would not be unrealistic. Same thing in Liberty, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And as far as the smallmouth and the crappies and that kind of thing, what do you think?
Well, the smallmouth, I would, you know, we've had, well, our state record's 8.4. I have seen one 8.1 that we had on the cover of an old Fish Finder magazine, I think years ago. And that was out of, that was one of the, that was one of the suburban reservoirs down Rocky Gorge or one of those. It might have been, I think it was Rocky Gorge. I'm not sure. But I would say you've got 8 to 9 pound smallmouth lurking in some of the reservoirs, no doubt. I mean, those fish get hammered, and they get hammered pretty hard during the spawn, but you can't touch them all.
It's just, and as far as Liberty with the rock that are in there.
Well, we've had 50-pound rock in there. We've found rockfish in there over 50 pounds that have died of natural causes or some other cause. You know, I mean,
it just gets you. I know I sound like a child talking when you hear that kind of thing, and you know that they're
they're there.
You know,
yeah,
that they're in there.
They're in there, absolutely.
Yeah. Times I've fished under the bridge there at Loch Raven, and you look up into that area where they are, you think, well, why can't one come drifting down here?
Because they like it too much where they are.
But as far as a chain pickerel, what do you think's in there?
Chain pickerel. I don't know what the world record is for a chain pickerel. I really don't.
Well, I think it was 9 pounds.
Yeah,
9 pounds.
I don't see any reason why we couldn't exceed the world record for chain pickerel right here in Maryland.
Do you think that? See, that's really just to have that. It's something to hold on to. The fact,
yeah,
that he's a,
yeah. I don't see any reason why we couldn't catch it. I mean, my dad, when he was alive, he caught 2 chain pickerel. My biggest chain pickerel is 24.5 inches out of Deep Creek Lake. My dad, when he was alive, he caught 2 that were 28 inches. That's a pretty darn good chain pickerel, but it's still only a 5 or 4 or 5 pound, 6 pound chain pickerel. You know, and I know they catch bigger ones every year in Maryland, but I mean, you know, for my dad, that was pretty awesome for him to catch. And he caught one of them out of a pond in southern New Jersey, and he caught the other one out of the Juniata River, of all places.
The fact that the little grass pike that are there in the Juniata and the raised town, have such fun with those little guys. They were just such an aggressive little fish.
We had a little place up by Williamsburg, between Altoona and Williamsburg. I guess it was outside of Hollidaysburg somewhere. It was a beaver pond, And there were giant crappie in there. The carp would come in and run up this little stream that was about 6 feet wide and about a foot deep in the spawning season, loaded with chain pickerel. You could go out there and catch, you know, 10, 20, 30 of them in an hour anytime you wanted to. But that wasn't what we were concentrating on. We caught a lot of them, but we were waiting until dark, and then we just sat there and caught catfish after catfish after catfish after dark. And we had a that spot right there was one of my favorite memories of my childhood, sitting there with my dad in the dark catching catfish. You know.
Well, the fact that you agree with me, there's a 30 pound northern floating in there.
I have.
That'll keep me going.
I have no doubt. When that thing comes up to take a look at your bait, it's going to look like a submarine coming up there. No doubt in my mind.
I like that kind of talk.
Yes, sir. So, well, the little lake we fished up in Lake Somerset had muskies in there that were, you know, 45, 50 inches. They'd catch one or two every year that were 50 inches in there, and most of them were caught in the spring of the year, and most of them were caught on chicken liver.
If there were muskies in Raven, I couldn't even imagine what the size they were.
Unreal.
In there, it would. You talk about the St. Lawrence or any other place.
Exactly.
They would definitely rival that.
Yeah.
So, like I say, that'll keep me going for a while.
No doubt, because you know, you ask about why they don't grow like they do in Canada. I don't think we have the forage base. I mean, we do. But our forage base here is not like the big whitefish and that type of things they have up north. You know, the big soft ray fish. I mean, in Loch Raven there are suckers and there are carp and that type of thing. But I don't think we have the protein rich fish like the whitefish and that type of thing that those northerns feed on up north.
I always thought it was the weather, the type.
Oh, it could very well be.
The fact that you mentioned that, because I don't Loch Raven there's so many. And crappie and the bluegill are just everywhere.
And crappie and bluegill have spiny, you know, they're spiny, and those fish tend to. I mean, look, you know, we're all getting older. What would you rather? What would you?
Let me take my.
Yeah, exactly. Give me some mashed potatoes.
It's just like I said, when I heard about the tautog last week, it just makes it feel good to know that.
Well,
even in heavily fished waters, there are still fish around that get to be like that, and it's a thrill when you catch them, when you see them, when you catch them, and then even when you hear of someone else taking them, it gets you going.
That fish was 23 pound? I think the world record's 26 or 28 pound from off the shore of the eastern shore of Virginia. I had a discussion with somebody, maybe it was Tom O'Connell the other day. I remember when that fish was caught. We had that one on the cover of one of the magazines I published too, and they did some studies on that fish. They think that world record tautog was in the 80-year-old range.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
The fact that he can be out there and heavily fished and still elude any kind of bait and that kind of thing, and he's still swimming around.
Exactly.
It's a good shot that kind of thing goes on.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Yes, sir.
So, you take care.
All right, Kirk. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
410, it'll be CBM 680, 410-922-6680. What do you think of these concepts? A, well, while you're thinking about it, you can certainly figure out a way to call in 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. Let me tell you about our friends at Bay Linex at Glen Burnie. The Linex protection can now come to you. The Bay Linex mobile unit can come to your home, your farm, your business, or your job site and apply the correct Linex consumer, commercial, or industrial coating to your deck, your trailers, your tanks, your forklifts, your lift gates, any equipment that needs protection against corrosion, chemicals, or the elements. And the Linex materials are environmentally friendly. Protect your investment like I did in your pickup truck. Feel protected with the Linex spray-on bed liner or prolong the life of your equipment. You can even protect your garage, shop, or basement floor with a new Aspartex floor coating. Now, let me stop right here. I want to tell you a little quick story. Thursday, a week ago, I was on a managed hunt. I shot a deer. It got out of my sight. Turned out that I hit this deer twice. I took two shots at it, And the first shot was a liver shot a little far back. It walked through the woods. It stopped at the edge of the woods. It didn't run. It just stopped. And I thought, I don't know if I missed or hit this deer. There was a pretty tough shot through through some brush and that type of thing, but I got a good open shot. I hit the deer in the shoulder, and it walked across the trail, kind of trotted. It didn't run. It didn't bolt. It didn't jump. It just kind of trotted across the trail and got out of sight. When it didn't make it to the next stand, in other words, my buddy Ray was on the next stand, and he didn't have a shot, I thought that I might have dropped that deer. Well, it turns out as soon as the deer got out of my sight, it fell. It did a face plant in a big, stinky mud hole. It was not a pretty sight when I got to that deer. Well, we loaded that deer, field-dressed the deer, loaded that deer in the back of my pickup truck. My entire tailgate and half the bed was covered in stinky, sticky, gray, nasty marsh mud and, of course, deer blood. So if you remember way back when we used to do the Linex commercials, I would say something like, no blood, no mud, no credit, all washes right out. Well, I took my truck to the car wash. I put a little tire cleaner on there, a little pre-wash, let it sit. Guess what? It all washed right out, just like I said. Amazing, isn't it? Yes, Bay Linex at Glen Burnie, 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Visit them online at baylinex.com. Call Bobby Hawkins. That number here it is. Write it down, 410-789-0199, 410-789-0199 for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie. Now more than just bedliners.
The Eastern Sports and Outdoor Show, February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg, PA. Presented by Outdoor Channel and Comcast. New gear, new products, same great tradition. Over 1,200 exhibitors for the true sportsman. Check out the latest in gear, tackle, and techniques, including more gun manufacturers, two full archery halls, and hundreds of fishing items. Discounted tickets at EasternSportsShow.com. That's EasternSportsShow.com. February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg, PA.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
This is Les Kinsolving. Pope Benedict, marriage of one man and one woman is the fundamental cell of every society. Monday night, 9 to 11 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
September, fall is coming. Got a feeling and I can't control it. Rumor has it at the hardware store, 6 inches wider than the year before. Big bulls, big bucks, mountain roads and pickup trucks. Hunting all day just to catch a glimpse of big bulls, big bucks.
All right, bring it. Well, we have no comments on the concepts. Maybe we'll review them again next hour. But the other one that stands out to me is the fact that, let's see, the big game harvest record. They want to delete the requirement for a hunter to fill out the big game harvest record before moving a deer or turkey from the place of kill. How many of you do that? In other words, take out your license and fill out the harvest card with your license, which means you're standing in the woods with your cell phone checking your deer in. A hunter would still have to fill out the big game harvest record, including recording the confirmation number when checking in the animal. The requirement to complete the big game harvest record when field tagging a deer or turkey has been difficult to communicate to hunters, and compliance remains very low. Well, it sure as heck has been difficult to communicate that to hunters. I'm not sure that they understood it. I'm not sure I understood that you had to do that. Matter of fact, when I get in my truck, if I've already field tagged the deer, I've thrown the thing in the back of the truck. I pick up the cell phone. I've got the deer check number and speed dial. I hit that and get the deer telecheck, communication system. Check the thing in. Write the confirmation number down on my truck when I call the deer in, and write it down on my big game harvest card. So, Wildlife and Heritage efforts to stress this requirement via press releases and clear language in the Guide to Hunting and Trapping have not resulted in satisfactory hunter compliance. The harvest record would still be used to keep track of deer and turkeys checked in and would remain part of a hunter's license, thus available for inspection by the Natural Resources Police. The field tagging requirement would remain unchanged. I'm not sure I ever talked about that on the air about filling out that tag. I'm not sure that our deer project leader or anybody we've ever had in here from Wildlife and Heritage Service ever really clearly told us what we needed to do on that. But anyway, they're thinking about just doing away with it anyway because nobody does it. Hey, they're not doing it anyway. Let's get rid of it. All right. Well, we reported here on the watermen's boats that had the GPS tracking devices installed, unbeknownst to the watermen. This was done with a warrant by the Department of Natural Resources Police. It was totally legal for them to do so, and it is an open investigation. However, after meeting with Secretary Griffin on Thursday, on Friday, State Senator Richard Colburn, friend of the watermen, Republican from District 37 in Mid-Shore, and the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Secretary John Griffin got into a shouting match over an ongoing poaching investigation. Griffin was meeting with the General Assembly delegation from Maryland's Eastern Shore to give an update on his department's activities when questions arose over devices found more than a year ago on some watermen's boats in Dorchester County. Delegation members continued Friday, Mid-Shore delegation. These are your folks that are members of the General Assembly, hard at work for you, to press for information related to the warrants presumably obtained by DNR to place the devices on the boats, though Griffin and the department continue to hold back due to the ongoing investigation. Senator Michael Smigiel, he's a Republican, 36, Cecil, he was at the event the other day, ate some oysters and bailed out. He threatened to take Griffin to court to secure the release of information he said should be public. Colburn continued to press Griffin for information about the devices as well and was met by a loud outburst from Griffin, who also pounded the table at which he sat with his fist. He pounded the table at which he sat. What writing? With his fist and shouted about the need to ensure the safety of his officers in the field. Colburn also became loud, shouting back at Griffin. The argument was then broken up by other members of the Shore delegation, and later both Griffin and Colburn apologized for their emotional outburst. Probably not to each other, I would guess. We have the audio of that argument. Thanks, you courtesy to Daniel DeVilio. He's a staff writer for the Star Democrat, which is the paper in Easton, Maryland. Go ahead and play Cut 23.
An argument broke out Friday between State Senator Richard Colburn and Department of Natural Resources Secretary John Griffin over the release of information regarding tracking devices placed by the agency on Dorchester County watermen's boats. Griffin explained all proper legal channels were followed in obtaining the warrants.
We get search warrants through proper judicial proceedings for those instances where there's tracking devices on boats and trucks.
Griffin refused to release the requested information on the warrants, leading to the following shouting match between him and Colburn.
tells you to judge you.
Because it's under investigation. And these investigations...
Now, how does that
Because we have federal agents. And we have the Justice Department. Because there's a whole bunch of criminal activity.
Why did you file charges?
We will. What?
For more on this story, check back with the Star Democrat online. This has been Daniel DeVilio reporting.
Why don't you file charges? We will. It's still under investigation. Did you hear that? Got a nice conversation with Secretary Griffin on Thursday. We didn't shout at each other. I did. I mean, we didn't. We had a very nice conversation. And anyway. Dave in Baltimore, good morning. What's up?
Yes, sir. I was wondering if you could shine some light on a situation that happened to a friend of mine.
Maybe.
They were fishing on a charter.
Uh-huh.
Virginia Beach area.
Okay.
They caught a 75-inch blue tuna.
Bluefin, okay.
Yes. Huge fish.
Of course.
They called back to the dock to tell them what was going on.
Yep.
Told them to gut it and bring it back.
Right.
DNR was sitting there waiting on them when they got back.
Right.
Confiscated the fish and said that it was deemed to be commercial.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Deemed to be commercial.
Yes, sir. That's what they told them.
Hmm.
Said that they had to auction it off.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. I didn't know that they could take a fish away from you for being too big. They said anything above 72 inches is a commercial fish. And they confiscated the fish.
Well, that's very possible. Did your friend know the regulations?
Nobody has ever heard of that. Everybody that I've spoke to... That do, you know, that fish on a regular basis are like, what are you talking about? So I figured I'd call you this morning to find out because you.
Well, I'm not all that. I'm not all that familiar with the offshore stuff, at least, especially in another state. But let's see if we can find something for you here. Virginia saltwater fishing.
If it is auctioned off, who gets the money? You know?
I don't know. I would assume that goes back to the Virginia Natural Resources Police.
All right, so this is like a very high dollar fish.
Yeah.
Sushi or something?
A what?
Because of sushi or something?
Yeah, it's it is a very, very high value dollar fish. It's worth thousands.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say it's worth a couple of thousand dollars. Let's see. Well, I'm just not having. Hey, there we go, Mike in Severna Pike. Let's get Mike in Severna Park up here. Mike, good morning. What's up, buddy?
Alan, how you doing?
Good. I'm trying to do a search here on the Virginia saltwater fishing regulations, but maybe you can help us out.
National Marine Fisheries Service sets the regs on highly migratory fish.
Okay.
So giant bluefin tuna over 72 inches, as Paul has said, are... pretty tightly regulated, as you would imagine.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not sure about this year. I haven't been offshore, but in past years, there has been a modest recreational quota for giant bluefin tuna, but it generally is cut off at a point in time when they feel that enough has been caught.
Okay.
And so at that point, you know, anything over 72 inches isn't allowed to be kept by recreational fishermen.
Okay, so...
I'm not sure about where the money would go. I would suspect that that there is a fund that is administered by NOAA or some other aspect of the federal government that would return that, you know, those funds back into the conservation of tuna and other highly migratory fish.
Right.
I know that a couple of years ago I was up at Stellwagen Bank off the coast of Massachusetts, and guy that I was going out with, and I checked the regs the night before, and that night they had switched it over, and whereas the day before we could have kept 101 over 72 inches,
right?
We couldn't the following day. We went out and I caught one that was 75 inches, and I don't know, probably around 300 pounds or so.
Yeah.
and I went back in the ocean.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I know that highly migratory fish are highly regulated. I know it's a federal deal. I don't know the individual deal in Virginia. That's why I was kind of scrambling here to do a...
There's not an individual deal in Virginia. It's
coast-wide, yeah. Yeah, okay. I got you. So yep. I don't know if that clears it up, but, yeah, anything over 72 inches. Now, what I guess Dave's question is, you know, if this guy called back to the dock, why would somebody just say, you know, go ahead and gut it other than ignorance?
I don't know. Who knows who he may have talked to at the dock?
Yeah.
Didn't maybe know the regs or...
Yeah.
You know.
Dave, do you know who your friend talked to?
No, sir, I don't. I thought that they called back to the harbor master, but I guess not.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, even depending on where he was, you know, it may not have been a common event for that fleet to catch a bluefin, and if that's the case, then the staff there may not have known.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no excuse, but I wouldn't surprise me.
I hear you. Okay. What do you think, Dave?
I think it's wrong.
You do?
I mean, these guys took 8 guys 4 hours to get this fishing.
Yeah.
And
so what are you saying? Just because of the effort that if they reeled in a fish that wasn't legal, they should be rewarded?
No, not at all.
What?
No, not at all. At least, I don't know, just give them something.
Well, they had the fight of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Wait a minute. Dave, wait a minute. What would have happened if it would have been a grander blue marlin?
I have no idea.
What would they have done?
Again, I have no idea.
There you go. So
he showed me pictures of this huge fish.
No doubt.
How in the world can they just take it away from you? Oh, this is commercial. I mean, it's not like they were in a school of them and had a whole bunch of them. They had one fish. You understand what I'm saying?
Dave, I understand what you're saying, and my heart goes out to your buddy, you know, but you got to know the rules, too. And if, you know, the rules say 72 inches, I mean, and this fish is over that, I mean, it's like a slot limit here. And we used to have a slot limit on rockfish here, and it broke the hearts of a lot of rock fishermen here in Chesapeake Bay. Same way with, redfish down in Florida and some of the southern states. There's a slot limit. You're only allowed to keep a fish between certain size, you know.
Well, if they confiscated it and they were going to auction it off, it's like even you said that, got to be a huge amount of money.
Well, it is a huge amount of money. Maybe that's what's bothering your friend, you know?
Like, at least split it. I mean, it's crazy. I understand what you're saying. Rules are rules, and you're right. They need to be followed.
Dave, if I make an unauthorized withdrawal at my bank with a mask and a gun, and they confiscate the money, I'm not gonna ask them to split it with me when they give it back to the bank.
Yeah, but they give it back to the bank.
Exactly. So it's going back. The money is probably going back, as Mike mentioned, to help manage the resource.
I didn't even get a picture of mine 2 years ago. I went back in the water. I got a picture of me with the rod pen, and I went and bought a T-shirt with a bluefin tuna on it.
Yeah, with your thumbs. Never mind. All right, guys. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call, Dave. And, Mike, thanks for helping us out. See ya. Wow. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Well, you know, goose season's winding down this weekend for the Atlantic population of migratory geese. We still have several weeks left of the resident population in the western part of the state. But maybe you just couldn't get those geese to come in this year. Maybe you'd call and, you know, they'd start coming and you'd call and they'd bail on you. Maybe they saw something. Maybe they didn't. Maybe it's what you were saying to them. Maybe they wanted to hear, hey, guys, come on down. There's girls and food down here. And you were telling them, get out of here, hurry up, go away. You never know. Well, I can help you with that. Sean Mann, Eastern Shoreman. The goose call that is just unbelievable here in Maryland. The Eastern Shoreman goose call can reproduce all the sounds of a Canada goose. And I particularly like the comeback call, moan or comeback or whatever you want to call it. I mean, you could do all kinds of calls on that. And they're readily available. They're online at seanmann.com, www.seanmann.com, or you can call the home office right down there in Talbot County, 800-345-4539. Give my buddy Ed a call or Ray or one of them down there, 800-345-4539. And check out the entire line of Sean Mann calls on seanmann.com. I think there's even audio there. So check it out. Sean Mann, World Goose Calling Champion, 1985, Champion of Champions. He's been celebrated on television, and he hunts in Canada every year. There's a trip you should make, is take a trip with Sean to his place in Canada to hunt waterfowl. And you can do that by clicking on the website, seanmann.com, or giving them a call at the office, 800-345-4539. Probably not going to do much as far as Canada's this year. I don't know if he's got access to any snow geese, but you can certainly give him a call and find out. Sean Mann, seanmann.com. The National Rifle Association's Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show is coming to Frederick January 27th through the 29th at the Frederick Fairgrounds. See hunting and fishing exhibitors, the NRA Great American Whitetail Collection, nationally known seminar speakers, the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest, and more. General admission's $10, NRA members $8, kids under 9 admitted free, with weekend passes available. The 2012 NRA Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show at the Frederick Fairgrounds. Visit www.nrahuntingshow.org for more information. Hey, we'll be up at the Frederick Show, the NRA Hunting and Outdoor Show. We're in booth number 97. That's in the Rabbit and Poultry Building. Probably why I sound like I do. Probably come up with some kind of chicken flu or rabbit disease floating around in the air up there. You never know. But booth 97, we're at the building next to the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest. Stop by, get a free magazine, Maryland Hunting Quarterly. Say hi. Get out, stay out, stay safe.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
As the proud owner of a Ford F-150 pickup, I'm pleased to recommend Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. From the sales experience to the quick lane service department, Bob Davidson is Maryland's only Ford dealer that has earned the Ford President's Award for 12 years.